Can we turn, and I'm finishing, could we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3? And it's a bit of a warning to you, the church, who's living now in this 21st century, right? So Timothy is where all the books start with T, right? So you get Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd, and then you get Timothy, and we're in 2 Timothy. So 2 Timothy chapter 3 is on page 1198 in a Bible at the end of the row. So Paul says to Timothy, his protege, Timothy, in verse 1 of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, on page 1198, "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. People will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred." Verse 3 says this, "They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good." Verse 4 says, "They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God." Verse 5 says, "They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly." Stay away from people like that. That's what Paul told Timothy. In King James, which is how I memorized verse 5, it says, "having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." Now, church, it's a warning. A form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, is a threat to the church. To be showing up on Sunday and doing the churchy thing, but not understanding that the power of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is at work alive in you, the believer, and to not walk in the power of the Spirit, the power of the love of God at work in your heart, makes you dangerous. It makes you someone to get away from. That's a thing. People who have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Don't play at church. There is no time to play at church. But it's easy because God does the work. Because you know you're a sinner, you know what your mirror tells you about yourself, but there's forgiveness in Jesus' name. And Jesus rose from the dead. He didn't struggle to make himself alive. He laid down his life and he took it back up again. He raised the dead. Lazarus rose from the dead. He healed people by touching them. He shows up in church. He got a little physical. But only because you guys are missing the point. Where do you pray? Who cares about your doves? Where do you pray? Church, in Alva, where do you pray? How is it happening? How has this world changed? Where is it? What in your life keeps still going on because you're not praying about it? Where is the power of God at work in the body of Christ? It's required. And if you don't have it, Timothy, if they don't have it, get away from them. That's Paul's warning. Let's not be that church. I don't believe that we are. I don't think you like need a rebuke because you don't and you ain't and you won't. But are you convicted inwardly about the importance of this? Jesus said, because lawlessness will increase, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. This is the thing that Jesus said. This is what we're looking for in the world. Jesus said this. He said, what do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go and look for the one that wandered off? This is Jesus and the church. How can we be sure not to miss God in our busyness? This God wanders off, goes after the ones wandering off. And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he's happier for the one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones be lost. So in the love work stuff that we're going through for weeks now, and it was about a week and a half ago, here's a line that you read from the devotional. You've already come across it, but I'll read it now. It's worth looking at the endearing word Jesus speaks. Regarding the straying sheep, he calls them little ones in verse 14 that I just read you. If you want to look it up later, make a note. It's Matthew 18. He calls them little ones. He doesn't speak words that identify them as evil, reprobate, jerks, ingrates. No. He calls them little ones. In that term, there's much room for immaturity and growth. He acknowledges their need for more supervision and care. Christians who are disobedient, Christians who wander, Christians who make mistakes, Christians who get it wrong, Jesus says, "Ah, little ones, let me leave everybody else and come and get you. Come here. Ah, I've got them. They're back. They're back, everybody. They're back. Welcome back. Now we have 100 again." This is God's attitude toward each one of us in the room and toward anybody outside who is not here yet, who ought to be here. Not a stick across their back. This is the way he chooses to see one of his lambs that stray. Little ones to bring back. So it's not permission to stray, is it? It's an encouragement to see that God's heart is to welcome back the stray. God's heart is for restoration of the lost. Jesus, the prophet, the priest, and the king who comes in on Palm Sunday is focused on the not yet people. And our calling is to reach the lost. And you don't crowd out the prayer room to get the business done. You don't spend time counting the collection instead of doing the ministry. This is the thing, church. On Palm Sunday, Jesus came to town and he said, "You guys are missing it. You're not getting it." His calling is to reach the lost, to make a commotion and to draw the hopeless into relationship with God, to be a house of prayer, not a ministry machine, and to draw people to a Savior who is the life that we all need.